Happy Sabbath, everyone. I hope you all had a good week. Once again, the beautiful sunshine. I don't know how many weeks in a row that we've had church, we've had beautiful sunshine. It just brightens the day. It's just so nice to be able to come before God and be together and be able to enjoy life as God wants it for you and me, to be before Him on this holy Sabbath day, praising Him, loving Him, and being taught His way of life. We are truly blessed. Sometimes we take blessings for granted until you don't have the blessing and then you forget. Well, we've come past the last holy day, which was Pentecost. We received God's Spirit, had it renewed in us to a degree because of the sermons we heard and everything. And now we're heading to what? Who's looking forward to the Feast of Tabernacles? There you go. Me too. Me too. It is amazing how God's feasts are so important to each of us and how we look so forward to them because they are God's plan. The ones that we've had now are past. We are now heading down to the final road to meeting our Savior, Jesus Christ, and then meeting our Father, God the Father. What an opportunity we have. I know between now and September, there's going to be a lot of chatter going on, where you're going, what you're going to do, and everything else. But the main thing, like just being here at Sabbath service, is when we go there, we're rejoicing, but we're rejoicing with God, and we're rejoicing because we know that God has called us, you and I, and all the others who keep God's feast, to be a part of His family. You and I are the ones that He has opened the minds to see and understand His plan. What a blessing it is. Do we count our blessings? I hope we count our blessings. You know, I've told you before the story about Art Clark, who's an older gentleman. I'm older than he was now, but anyhow, he's probably about 60 years old, and I was about 19 years old, coming into church and singing the song, Count Your Blessings, One by One. And Art wasn't saying that. Art was saying something else. And he's over about 3 or 4, so as a young man, I'm scooting over trying to see what he's saying. And he says, Count your blessings, ton by ton, and then one by one. And you know, we need to do that daily because we have so many blessings. Just as the Bible study was talking about, when we go and eat, we should always bless God. Thank God. You know, there are people in the world who don't have anything. There are people in the world, I remember hearing stories about Korea when we had the Korean War, and they said kids would go in the garbage of what the service people were throwing out. That's what you call hungry. That's what you call hungry. We have been blessed to live in the greatest country there is. And yet, you and I, in the last 3 years, have seen this country doing what? They want to do less with God and say that God isn't involved. Today's Bible study, Mr. Barker brought out, they're trying to change things. Trying to say there's something besides boys and girls, or men and women. There is nothing besides that. God created it that way. God created man. God created woman. And yet, this society is going down the drain in a hurry. And the thing about it is, you and I are going to be a part of it. Things are happening, and are happening fast. And we are not used to that. We're almost going to have head jerk to a degree because it is happening. And all of a sudden, right is wrong and wrong is right. There's only one right way. You and I both know that. You and I both know that God has opened our minds and how blessed we are. That you and I know to keep His holy Sabbath day. You and I need and know that we need God's holy days as just as much as we need His Sabbath. Because we need to stay close to Him because we have seen through the Bible how that when nations turn against God, things go bad. Things go bad. God is in charge. God is letting man come through what is considered, I would say, the degeneration of the United States, and it's going to continue to degenerate. And you and I better be prepared. And the only place we can be prepared is studying our Bible, God's Word, and living it. We have to live it. You and I are what we would call the one of the few. Out of all the people in the world, how many people in the world, and do you think that you and I represent? You and I represent. And the Dayton area where we, each of us are here, you and I probably are responsible if God gave us people to take care of and work with. We'd probably have over 50,000 people that you'd be responsible for, 45,000 people. Can you imagine that? That's what God has called you and I to be. We are going to be the teachers in the future. I've heard people say in times past, well, I really don't want to be a teacher. That's why you're here. That's why you and I are here. We're here to learn. Just as the ministers have learned, and as you have learned, but the ministers are here to help guide, direct, and guide us to the right way. Having us check ourselves, make sure that we're doing the check and not being taken in by the world. It says we have to come out of this world. And we do. Because if you want to get part of the world, you're going to wallow in it. And then you're not going to be in God's kingdom. Unless we repent. Everybody gets the opportunity to repent. But God has called you and I at this time. And we are truly blessed to know His way of life. We are truly blessed to know what we are supposed to do. We are to read and study. We're to pray. We're to do what? We're to love fellow man. Don't have to love what they're doing, but we have to love the person. If you look ahead, today I'd like for us to think about looking ahead a little bit before I get started. How many people would you look forward to being an example to when they understand God's way of life and you are a spirit being representing God the Father? Think about it. What a happy day that will be. You'll be helping others to understand something they've never understood before, just like you and I understand what most of the world does not understand. God is in charge. God is the great King. He's the Holy Father. And His Son died that you and I could be in His kingdom. Because He intercedes for you and me. And you and I definitely do not walk a straight line. We may want to. We try to. But if you told me you walk a straight line every year, then why are you at Passover? We need to take it very seriously why we're at Passover. We're at Passover because we say, God, please forgive us. Forgive me my sins. I want to make the contract again. Please allow me. And because of Jesus Christ, because of what He went through, you and I are able to take Passover every year. And then we have 7 days of saying, we've got to put this sin out of your life. 7 days He has us eat unleavened bread. So we'll be putting the lawlessness, the weaknesses, whatever we have done, bring it to mind and say, hey, I got to change. I got to not let that back into my life. And you know what? That's a problem. Because you see, the evil one that we heard about a lot today in Bible study, he is out there trying to destroy you and me. He had everything, and he blew it. He blew it. And now he hates each and every one of us who love God. Because he wants you to suffer, because he's suffering forever. From what he done, he's suffering. You know, in 1 Peter 5:8, talks about Satan. And we need to always beware of him. Because you see, this is a verse you've heard so many times. But the point is, it's so important we remind ourselves. You know how you build a good habit? Is you keep doing it. So what we do is we go back and we read. We know God shows us what we're to do. But 1 Peter 5:8, he says what? Be sober. Be vigilant. That means being on fire. Vigilant. Make sure we're doing it. Because my adversary, everyone is adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion. And if he finds a weak spot in any of us, he will keep probing at that. That's why we're told put on the whole armor and to keep the armor up at all times. Because if he finds a crack and he gets in, that's an opening. You and I want to try and keep Satan from having that opening in our lives. Because if he does, and if we aren't close to him, if we don't repent, he will destroy us. Look at the world around us. We was talking about today in Bible study. They say there's more than what? More than one gender? Now we have transgenders. We accept everything. God didn't make transgenders. God didn't make a person become a lesbian or whatever. God made man and woman. And he was very proud of it. A man need the woman. And a woman need the man. And together, they work together and help each other in every way. Men are a little bit more stoic or a little bit more than what women are. But a woman is gentle, beautiful. And she helps a man become softer in a lot of ways. And yet, the man helps her become more responsible in other ways. It's a team effort. It's a team effort that we're here today. Because we're here for each other. Not only to serve God, but we're here to bring glory to His name. By developing as a family. Learning to love one another. Care for one another. We need to take care of those who aren't with us today. Letting them know how much we care. How much we miss them. I guarantee you they miss us. Because every time I've talked to any of them, they always say, tell everyone thanks for the card. Tell them thanks for the calls. Have you ever been sick for a long time? After a while, especially if you're a widow and you don't have any contact with other people except for people who may not be in the church hardly, they call some, but you know what happens? They sometimes say, well, I don't want to bother somebody. I don't want to, No. We want you to call us. We want to call you. They need us. Just as we need God. They need encouragement. They need to know that they're loved. Just as we, when we're here and we talk to each other and find out how everybody's doing. We need to know we're loved. Our God is love. And we are to be building that love in our hearts and minds every day. And if we're not, guess what? We got a crack in our armor. If we're not building every day, we're getting cracks. If we're not improving, we're getting cracks. We don't want any cracks. We want to be the family that God has called. So what do? God has called you and me to be a light to the world. The only way we can be a light is if we're out there. And our ways are good as God is. He shows us how to be caring and loving. He shows us how to treat people. Not judge. Not judge. So easy to judge. You know, back in Matthew, I think it's 7, talks about, remember the speck in one person's eye and a beam in the other one who is pointing at the speck. Saying, because of you, or, oh, I would never do that. Oh, you are da-da-da. That's not godly. That's not godly. Godly is love. Love is caring for that person. Love is giving to that person. Giving them hope. Giving them assurance. Letting them know that you and I love them. And even people that you offend you in different ways. You know, you say, I don't agree with you. But you don't have to be nasty about it. You know, you have your ways. They try to push you. I say, well, I don't agree with you, but that's between you and God. And then you can go on and pray for them. Because they need that prayer. They need to know that you, and they won't know it now. That's the thing you got to realize. It may not show up until Christ returns. Someday, you may be working with that person. Have you ever thought about that? Working with your children, with your parents, your grandparents, your great-grandparents. You and I have that job. We continue and do God's will. We continue to seek God first in our lives. We will be there with God for eternity. You and I are going to be in that mansion that's talked about, Jesus Christ talked about. He said he was going to prepare a mansion for us. Back in Matthew 7. He's going to prepare a mansion for us. Does that mean, I don't know what it means for sure, does that mean that he has your name on there now? He says at this point, you and I are doing our job and your name is up there. This place belongs to you, you, you. All of us are here. Now, if we have our names there, we certainly do not want him to take the nameplate off. That's why you and I have to make sure that you and I stay close to God. We have to study to show ourselves approved. We have to go forth. And back in Revelation 7, it talks about the 144,000. That is not a definite thing anybody understands right now, but it talks about the 12 tribes. 12,000 each. But if, that doesn't leave out everyone else. God is everyone's God. But according to this, if you read it per blank, it says that 12,000 out of each tribe will be there. But it doesn't talk about the others. So how many of them will be there? How many of them will have the opportunity? Everybody's going to have an opportunity. You and I are called to be the lights to the world. In Matthew 5, let's read that, because we are called to be the lights. And that means you and I are all what? We're on the main stage, aren't we? We're on the main stage. And what we say and what we do, you know, shows to the world. If we are different and don't react as other people would, and they see this gentleness, this kindness, this mercy. Not combatant, but caring. Your neighbors, the people you meet. I've told people, I remember Gerald McLaughlin one time told me that when he was older, he said, one time I did something really wrong and walked up to some guy and he said, I don't know what I did. And he said, I'm older and I did something stupid. And the guy was really mad. And Gerald said, hey, please forgive me. I'm old. He said the guy's attitude completely changed. Completely changed. Why was that? He wasn't combating. He told the guy he was sorry. He didn't say, well, you shouldn't have been my way. You know, or whatever it could have been. He came back, I'm sorry. And then he had an excuse, I'm old. I can use that now. A lot of us can use that now. And I did use it a few months back. I have no idea what I did to this guy in the grocery store. He was hot. He was probably in his late 20s. And he was hot. I said, sir, I'm sorry. I don't know what I did, but if I did, I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to do it. He just turned around and walked away. I said, Gerald was right. Gerald told me that probably about 35 years ago. But it works. If we have the humble, if we are meek, and yet we are strong. We are strong in God's truth and way of life. But we can be meek. It doesn't mean you're weak. It means we're growing. It means we're learning how to adjust to the surroundings we have today. We are truly blessed. But in verse 14, it says there in 5, it says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That's our God. That's one that's called you and me to understand your truth and to be a part of His family. Not only now, but even when the physical body is gone, we'll be changed and be with God the Father for eternity. There's a warning just above that, though. And sometimes we forget that. In verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. God has made us the salt of the earth. If the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot of men. That is quite a warning for you and me. We cannot be the salt of the earth and lose it. We have to continue to grow with it. We have to continue to be more like God and Jesus Christ in everything we do. We have truly been blessed with a wonderful calling. I remember when I was called, I didn't want it. I did not want it. I said, no, not now. No, not now. I was 18 years old or 19 years old. Not now. I'm just getting out where I can really go do something. Man, I can, you know, I got my freedom. I can. Thankfully, God wouldn't let loose. He was merciful. Very merciful to me. He's been merciful to each and every one of you. And you know it. I know it. Because I've been there too. No matter what we say or what we do, we know one thing. God gave His only begotten Son that you and I can have life and can be forgiven of our sins. And Jesus Christ intercedes for us. You talk about a blessing. You talk about patience and love. Now, a lot of people say my wife has patience and love, and boy, she does.
Right.
She's a good woman. I'll be with her 53 years here shortly. But you know, it is a wonderful thing. And we're going to be married to God the Father. We're going to be in that great wedding. And as you know, as it says in the book there, it says, make sure you have on the right clothes. Don't be thrown out of the wedding. You and I must continue every day to grow and overcome. Over in Matthew 6:24. It says, no one can serve two masters, for he will hate the one and love the other, else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Satan uses physical things to get your attention. Physical things to take you away from God. Saying, but if I do this, I can make a lot more money. If I work on Saturday, man, whew, just think, I get time and a half. I've known people who have left God's family and went back and couldn't wait to work on Saturday because money became so important. We can't take our eyes off of God's Word. We have to look to God. We have to study. We have to look to each other to help each other. We are a family. Families stand behind each other. Families help each other. Good families. I've seen bad families. Sorry, some are bad families. We have been called to be a good family. You and I are here for that reason. To help one another. To grow together. And guess what? When we keep the Feast of Tabernacles, what are we doing? We're rejoicing for the future. It's not here now, but you and I are rejoicing that Jesus Christ will be back. We will be being trained, and we'll be helping others to understand what God has blessed us with now. It's not an easy thing. And the only way we'll stay true to God is if we seek Him every day, if we study every day, and whenever we see that we have sinned, that we repent immediately. And hopefully we'll see that quicker as we get stronger in God's Holy Spirit in us. Or if somebody tells you, well, you know, you should be careful what you're saying or what you're doing. Now, if it's a brother or a sister, vanity says, I don't want to hear it. I mean, we're all vain. But if you listen to your brother or sister who loves you, who cares for you, and you walk away and you come back and say, you know, they wouldn't have done that if they didn't really care for me. I better check myself. I better maybe, you know, and sorry to say, 10 out of 10, I've been wrong. And I've done more than 10 probably. But I have learned that if my brother is willing to come up to tell me out of love that something's wrong, or I have done something, and I may not even realize that I offended him in some way, I can apologize and ask God to forgive me, for I don't want to hurt anybody. You know. You and I are a family. We have to understand that. We have to understand God is the Father, Christ is the Son, and they care for you and I. God asked Christ to give His life for you and I. John 3:16. Not just for you and me, but for the whole world. God really doesn't want anybody not to be in His kingdom. And that's not saying that's the way it's going to be, but God is giving everybody every opportunity. Those who do not understand, have never heard, they will have an opportunity. And if we do our job, you and I are going to be there helping them. So do we have a responsibility? We have a great calling and we have a great responsibility. Mr. Keller here has had over, 50 years in the ministry? That's 50 years of serving people like you and I and talking with people who are not in the church, trying to help them to see and understand. That's a long time. And that's a great service, and we thank you for it. We thank our minister for his service. I certainly wouldn't want his job. I don't qualify for that job. But you know, we do have and are blessed to have ministers in the area. We have four in Dayton. We have Ron, our pastor, Mr. Kellers, who's what you call a senior pastor and one who is, one can give us all a lot of understanding as ministers and as the children of God. And then we have Joe Hanley. And then, well, there's me. 3 out of 4 is great. But anyhow, the point is we are blessed. We have men who have taught, men who have put aside stuff, and whenever they're called, they call for anointing, you want anointing, they drop, and they come to you. Because you know why? Because if they don't, they're telling God it's not important. If you ask for anointing and it wants to come to your house, we're bound to come to your house. That's our duty. And aren't you glad that someone would stop whatever they're doing and put you first? Because God puts you first. God says they're hurting. They need you. It's like your child. Have you ever had a child get hurt? Who's the first one there? That parent's there. That parent is there, and that parent would go through what to get to that child? And they'll be there and nurture you and be there to talk to you. They'll be there whatever you need. We are truly blessed to know that the God, the great God, the Father, loves each and every one of us that much. And that He wants you and I to be with Him forever. Many are called. As it says in Matthew 20:16 and 22:14. Let's go to 20:16 since I'm there first. In Matthew 20:16 it says, "So the last will be first, and the first last, for many are called, but few are chosen." You and I are one of the chosen ones. And like I said, turn over to chapter 22 in there also. 14. "For many are called, but few are chosen." Now you go back up in verse 10. And you see what I was talking about earlier. In Matthew 10, we're breaking into something where about the man had a wedding and everything, called out people and they didn't come and da-da-da. So finally they went out and on the streets brought people in, right? Because he said in verse 9, "Therefore go into the highways and as many as you find, invite to the wedding." So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they had found, both bad and good. Bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in, he sees the guest. He saw a man there who did not have a wedding garment. Now, if you're called to wedding, you usually don't go in jeans. That's a very special time for those who are being married. A highlight. So he said to him, friend. You notice he didn't call him anything bad. He said, friend. Why? Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Wouldn't you be speechless if God came to you and you were at a place and not wedding garment? And he threw a big bash? I'd be speechless too. And probably know I'm in a heap of trouble. Then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot. Take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And there again it ends. For many are called, but few are chosen. What a blessing we have. We are the chosen ones at this time. We are the lights of God's way of life. And we are to grow every day to love Him. You and I are looking forward to one of those mansions. We'll turn to that in John 14:2. I'm sure you've read it before, and what did you think? Say, hey, that's going to be me. That's where I want to be. So as Christ told him he was leaving, he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. You. You and me. We are one of the few that have answered a calling. We are one of the few who are chosen to have an opportunity to have a mansion and be in God's kingdom forever. As we look forward to going to the Feast of Tabernacles, we look forward to seeing and being a part of God's family, training, and helping others to understand also. We have truly been blessed. Can we count our blessings? As our clerk said, count your blessings ton by ton, and then one by one. Because you and I have a lot of blessings. Let's never take for granted the love of God. The love of Jesus Christ who gave His life for you and me. That you and I can be a part of His family. Because we are looking forward to the day when God will be with each of us. And we will be with Him. Life will be so much different. This temporary life will be gone. We'll be spirit beings in a family of God. You and I are so blessed. Count your blessings every day. Count your blessings that we have a nice hall here on the Sabbath. And you know, we've been blessed with this hall for 20 some years now. What a blessing. It's a big hall, has a great kitchen, has room in the back where we can have Bible studies, or at one time we had more children. We had Bible study for children back there. And the people here treat us wonderful. That's a blessing every week when you come here. You can thank God for. Because I remember years before, we were in VFW places where we had to clean them up before you could even get in because they had beer and stuff all over the floor. God has blessed us with many, many blessings. You're a blessing to have each other here. I'm blessing to be with you here. And God is so happy we're here because we are still obeying Him. We are saying, we want to be with you, God. We want to sing praise to you. We want to be with our family. We miss them. And you are our family. We are a family. If one of us is sick, such as some are at home, we miss them. We pray for them. And they appreciate it. But we are to go forward. We're to look, as it says back, we'll go back, I'll finish up here, going back to Revelation. In Revelation 21, it talks about all things made new. And not only that, you and I will have a new life. Our life will be with God the Father, Jesus Christ, all of His saints, the elders that we don't know about. We'll see, we'll probably see, just think about it. We're going to get to see the angels who have probably protected you and me at different times. I know in my life I had an opportunity, I won't say an opportunity, I had a blessing that I wasn't killed twice in a car wreck. I was 18 years old, out of school 5 days. And I tore the rear end out of a little Studebaker Lark. Ron Walters like that. He loves Studebakers. He wouldn't like that one, though. It was a small one. But anyhow, we were going to what we call down in southern Ohio, the rim of the world, which is going from my town, Gloucester, Ohio, to McConnellsville. And I had to ask a friend to take me over to get the car. I need to get a rear end. As we're going up the hill here, we're doing down, and as we come up the hill, he's really gunned to go up this big hill, and we hit this curve, and he's going too fast. And our car starts doing this, which was bad shocks. Bad shocks. I am over here on the right-hand side, and I'm looking over this cliff, like looking over this right here, and I see treetops. And I grabbed the dash, and I put my head down because I didn't even want to see what was going to happen. The next thing I knew, that car turned 45 degrees. And I remember going, whew, about that time, boom, we hit a tree on the other side. So my buddy Charlie was driving. I said, Charlie, how did you do that? He said, do what? I said, Charlie, we made a 45 degree turn. I said, did you gas this car or did you do something that made it turn? He said, I didn't do anything. Now, Charlie's hanging on the car because we're on our side. He's still hanging on to the, we didn't have seatbelts, of course. He's still hanging on to the steering wheel. I'm laying on the ground and can't figure out why because I was knocked out. And when I woke up, I see him laying up there. But anyhow, the point was, we knew someone had taken care of us. Because we were headed off the cliff. It would have been about a 150-foot drop or better. I saw the top of trees. So I realize now as I look back on different things like that, you know, God called me a long time ago. I just didn't know it. He was going to give me an opportunity. He was going to give me a chance. Has He done it to you? I'll bet you when you look at your life, you're going to see things that should have been happening. And you say, boy, was I lucky. No, you were protected by God's angels. And God has protected you this time that you're now here in Dayton, Ohio. And you are with this family in Dayton. And we're sure glad you are. Because we love each and every, each of us love each other. we have truly been blessed. We are going to be in the new city, Jerusalem. That's what God has called you and I to be. We are going to be kings and priests. Yes, kings and priests. Each and every one of us, if we make it into God's kingdom. So as we keep this Sabbath day, we need to remember, God is in charge. God is our Father. God is our Creator. And God loves you. You, and me. And we are to love each other too. And be the example to each other and to the world. What a blessing you and I have at this time. In Revelation 22, let's read verse 7, because I'm getting ready to close. It says, "Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." Blessed, because we're going to be eternal beings. Down in verse 12, he says, "And behold, I am coming quickly. And my reward is with me to this work, with me to give to everyone according to his work." He reminds us in verse 13. He says, "I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." In verse 16 it says, "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star." You and I are to be the light and continue to be the light for eternity if we're here when Christ returns with him. At the Feast of Trumpets with Jesus Christ and then with God the Father. Our life is just beginning. May we truly stay close to our God. And may we truly love one another and follow Jesus Christ's example.